This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Roger Staubach has joined us and you here on Sports Byline USA. What was the magic of the Tom Landry-Roger Staubach marriage?
Well, Tom Landry is, you know, I think he's, you know, the best. He was a very smart X and O coach, and he had a quiet intensity about him, and yet I don't think he saw me as his prototype quarterback. He wanted someone that kind of was a drop-back passer, and I was a running quarterback against the grain, but he knew that I really wanted to win, and I committed myself with a passion. So we got along in that way, and I think there was a lot of respect for each other as human beings, but as a player, I really didn't fit his image really as a prototype quarterback, because I ran and I did crazy things on the field, but we got along because we both wanted to win, and he also felt that I had the respect of my teammates as a quarterback, and the leadership issue there was very positive as far as how he felt about me and the position that I played.
Roger, when Tom was on the show, I asked him about you. I want you to hear what he had to say. Here's your former coach, Tom Landry.
He's a very disciplined type of player, and he's the kind of player you need to take you to championships, and he can do that because he's very seldom ever defeated. I mean, Roger brought us back from being out of the games in two-minute periods so many times, you know, because he had that type of quality that you like, and that's the fact you never give up. And he never gave up. It didn't make any difference whether he ran out of time or not. He was still fighting them.
The one thing that I've always heard about great quarterbacks like you, John Elway, Joe Montana, and I've had the players tell me this, Roger, was that you could be on your own 10-yard line, there could be 10 seconds left, it could be fourth down, but you'd look into the eyes of you, they would look into the eyes of John Elway or Joe Montana, and you always had a belief that you still had a chance to win that game. Did you have that same sense in the huddle when you were behind late in a ball game?
Well, I had a personal instinct inside of me when I was a kid. You know, my dad used to always say, geez, you know, you're the kind of kid that likes to get up with the bases loaded in the ninth inning and your team's behind, or you wanted to shoot the free throws at the end of the game, and I did. And I wasn't always successful, but I enjoyed that moment, and there were a lot of successes in the heated times of a game. But the beauty of football, and in fact, today I gave a talk today. It was a business talk, but I relate, you know, the experience, I think, of teamwork and thinking about someone other than yourself, which is an important ingredient today in business. I mean, every business has got to have people that respect what other people do for the company, and if you want to transfer that respect to the customer. And so teamwork's important, and football is a consummate team game, and if you get your teammates believing that you can win at the end of the game, that's a step in the right direction, because if you don't get everybody believing that, it's not like a golfer going out there and having a David Duval kind of focus and you're by yourself, but football is, you got to get other players helping you go that 90 yards to get that winning touchdown, whether it's Elway or Montana. So bringing players to that level to believe you can do it, a quarterback is a very important person that can communicate that. And if you can do that and your teammates believe in you, and I was watching Johnny Unitas, I always felt that they could come back. And if I watched Troy Aikman or John Elway or Dan Marino, you're a Favre or somebody, you kind of sense that they have the confidence of their teammates, and that's important. But you can't do it just by yourself. I mean, you've got to get these other guys committed and believing, and if you all pull together, good things can happen, and you can win some games when you think everything's at a loss. You can get things turned around if you believe together.
Roger, was it a little bit easier for you because of the continuity factor that you had with the Cowboys, where you did not have players moving around from year to year? Is it tougher to get that type of believability today because of the lack of continuity or the movement of players?
Yeah, I really feel, you know, it's an issue today that it will continue. I mean, there's good things to it, obviously, as far as players getting a chance to participate in the revenues that are available in football today, which are significant with TV and just all the various forms of revenues, the big one being TV. And yet the negative side of it is, you know, the Cowboys in the early 90s really had a lot cooking, and all of a sudden they lose the Stepanovskis of the world, and in other key players, the Gogans, and, you know, all of a sudden a team has got to be balanced between not just the haves and the have-nots. You've got to have a more even flow of players, and it is more difficult today, and it's more difficult to get the continuity and the teamwork and the things that can you know, really get a pattern of, you know, we won for like 21 years in a row. I mean, I wish we won more Super Bowls, but we did have continuity as some teams have had in sports, and Dallas has been one that's had a pretty darn good history of winning, and it is more difficult to today, and it's a challenge for any coach, and that's why coaches today have to, you know, they have to bet on the right players, and they have to get them on the field and coach them better than they've ever coached them before too.
Roger, when they put the label of America's team, I've talked to some of your teammates and former players when that was the in thing to call the Dallas Cowboys America's team. What was the reaction of the players to that?
Well, as players, you know, you weren't crazy about that. The NFL did a film that, you know, that they titled America's Team. I think it was one, maybe after we beat Denver in the Super Bowl or one of those years. And Tex Schramm, really, he was a marketing genius. I mean, he, you know, with the Cowboy cheerleaders and the whole Cowboy deal playing on Thanksgiving, he really saw the media event related to the team, and so he jumped all over that America's Team stuff. And, you know, as players, we didn't like it. You know, it's hard enough. No one, you know, people either love the Cowboys or they hated the Cowboys. And normally when you went into Philadelphia or New York or, you know, Washington, they weren't crazy about you. And that just made it a little bit, there was always an article in the paper, America's Team's coming to town. So it just got people ticked off. In fact, Bill Berge hit me one time. It actually happened in a game. He came in on a blitz and he just, you know, I threw the ball and he kind of hit me, knocked the wind out of me. And I'm on the ground and I'm there. And, you know, Berge was really a tough, great football player and a mean guy, but a really good guy off the field. I got to know him later on in life. But he picked me up and he said, "You take that, America's quarterback." And I said, "Oh, geez, you know, it's bad enough." So but being an old America's quarterback or old America's team, it's kind of fun now. But when you were playing, you didn't need that extra little arrogance, you know, that the Cowboys always had.
I lived in Washington, D.C. for a while, and I'll tell you, one of the great rivalries, I think, in the NFL over the years was certainly that Washington Redskin-Dallas Cowboy rivalry. Two-part question here. One, what makes a good rivalry, you think, in the NFL? And two, what about that? What was it about you two teams, aside from being in the NFC East, that made that so special?
Well, the idea of fighting for, you know, the division, you know, obviously creates a rivalry, when especially you have two teams like Dallas. And when George Allen got there, especially, George Allen was, I mean, he was a great coach. And I got to know George Allen after I retired. We were on the President's Council of Physical Fitness together, and he was a big jogger. And, you know, but when I was playing against him, and he really, Landry even talked about him in training camp and playing the Redskins. It was like a playoff game when we played him. So it was a real deal. I mean, we didn't like each other. Darren Talbert hated my guts, and I didn't like Darren Talbert. If I was on their team, I know I would have got along with all of them, even though they didn't like me at the time. But even when I retired, I was inducted in the Washington Touchdown Club Football Hall of Fame, which was, I thought it was a joke. I thought maybe I was going to go up to the you know, the dinner and the door would be locked and they'd say, "Ha ha, Staubach," or something. You know, we tricked you. But I went there. It was magnificent. It was a great night. I'm in there with the Washington Touchdown Club, and it's a first class deal. And Darren Talbert's up there saying nice things about me. I said, "Man," I said. Things sure change. But when we were playing against it, we really had a tough rivalry, and we both were winning. We were beating them usually in Dallas, and they'd beat us in Washington, and we were fighting for the division championship. So and George Allen loved to stick the needle in people and got his players to do it, and so it was a big deal. I mean, when we played the Redskins, it was a big game, and it was like a playoff game. And we didn't like each other, but I think we respected each other. I think down deep we respected how the talent we all had. And, you know, I loved Kilmer and Jurgensen, and, you know, they were, you know, mentors to me. And old Joe Theismann came in after that, and he was a heck of a player. So they had some great quarterbacks, and so the rivalry was good. It was real, and the fans got into it, and no one liked each other, and yet
we had big games against each other, so people look forward to them.
Roger, when you take a look at the current Dallas organization, the problems that it's had in recent years, what's your read on the organization and the problems it's had?
Well, there are some things that really are distracting, and there are things that are worrisome and bothersome that took place. But, you know, the Cowboys started to win in the 90s, and there's, again, a jealousy of, I think there's a thing about the Cowboys. Again, you either really like them or you don't, and you like to see people that, if you don't like somebody and they're successful, you like to see them fail. And yet I think part of it is that people didn't recognize and didn't want to see the good things in the Cowboys because they had something against the Cowboys.
Very interesting conversation with Roger Staubach. And if you'd like to ask a quick question of Roger, we'll let you do it for a couple minutes at 1-800-878-7529 as we continue with more of You in America's Sports Talk Show.